Leviticus 5, I think we have a typical mention of a typical sin of omission. Verse 1, it talks about the person who sins in that he hears the call to testify of something that he's witnessed, and he doesn't. This person, we're told, has sinned and shall bear his iniquity. I think a lot of us sin far more easily by sin of omission rather than cold-blooded, hot-blooded sin of commission. I shall just do this although I know it is wrong. I think our failures typically are more sins of omission. I know this, but I shall not say anything. I see that need, but I shall pretend that I didn't see it. And so it is here. If somebody hears the call to testify when he is a witness and he doesn't speak, then he has sinned and shall bear his iniquity. The language that's used here, particularly in the Septuagint, is very much that of the Great Commission in Luke 24, verse 48, that we are to witness that which we have seen or known. And we're told in 1 John 5:10 that we each have the witness of the Lord's resurrection within ourselves, and we are to speak this. And to not do that is a sin. That's what it says here. And we have to give that its due weight. And we are all verily guilty here. We all have had this wonderful experience. We have seen and known. We are witnesses of his reality. That all that we have seen and known of him is absolutely true, and therefore we are to testify. This is very much the New Testament's language, and yet we often don't do it, and here not doing it is called a sin, and you shall bear iniquity for it. Well, I think with myself, I tend to look at missed opportunities to witness and I shrug and I think, well, yes, I should have said something. I really should have introduced Jesus to that person and I didn't. And yet, you know, I tend to shrug and, you know, okay, so that's it. And yet here, it's taken really seriously. And I should take it the more seriously. Because verse 5 goes on that someone who's guilty of these kind of things, these sins of omission, shall confess that in which he has sinned. There was to be confession, admission to God that I have failed in this. And with sins of omission, because nobody else noticed it, it's very easy to not deal with it, to just shrug. But no shrugging. Confess it to God, and then verse 6, and he shall bring his trespass offering to Yahweh for his sin which he has sinned. And this is emphasized again in verse 7. If he can't afford a lamb, then he shall bring for his trespass which he has committed. Why this stress upon the sin which he has committed, the sin in which he has sinned? Well, I think it's because in view is sins of omission, which only you know, and God, of course. Because, you know, people, I guess, would ask the logical question, are you offering a sin offering, or what'd you do? And, you know, the answer was, I didn't do anything wrong, but I omitted to do this, that, or the other, and so thereby I did commit a sin. And, of course, in those days, offering a sin offering was, by its nature, a public act. And so sin was going to be confessed to some degree because folks are going to say, oh, what are you doing with the animal? What are you doing with the latest lamb that good old sheep Sally, you know, just gave birth to? What are you doing with that? What are you doing with, you know? Oh, you sinned? All right. How'd you mess up? I mean, that is just the obvious, natural, human thing to ask. And I think the whole structure of the law of Moses was taking that into due account. And of course, in this case, the answer was, well, I omitted to do this, that, or the other. And of course, the law of Moses was about the only legal code to, in that sense, criminalize, as it were, matters of the heart or sins of omission. You know, that's why in the Ten Commandments, you shall not covet. Well, nobody can judge, apart from God and yourself, whether you covet it. It's no sin and it's no criminal action in any legal code anywhere in the world to have a certain hidden secret attitude of mind, because man can only judge the external and not the heart, but God judges the heart. And this is where, of course, the law of Moses was so uniquely different, because it is the law of God, the one true God, who is particularly interested in attitudes and heart positions and things like sins of omission. So, let's remember that, and of course, not witnessing that which we have seen and known. This is, in God's eyes, a major issue, because if you have really seen and known the things of the Lord Jesus, if you have been a witness of him, then you will naturally, surely, testify. And to not do that, because you're worried about your image, or you're worried about, that's not quite the conversation starter, that's not quite what one's supposed to say, and all this sort of posing around and posturing and so forth. Well, you know, have we really been that witness? Have we seen and really known that the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me? Because if we have, that which we have seen and known, as John says, we testify of.